It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to Still Potable, the best Celtics podcast out there on the internet. We are coming to you live after Game 3. The Celtics take down the Heat 104-84.
Hold on. I need to interrupt you. Wait for it.
The anticipation's building.
Let's go, you motherfucking Celtics. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Your motherfucking Celtics, let's go, baby. It's game three. Let's beat the Heat down in Miami. Let's go, Celtics. No more farting. Double fuck you to Caleb Martin. Let's go, Celtics. Let's go, you motherfucking Celtics. Let's go, baby. Let's go, you motherfucking Celtics. Let's go.
Woohoo! Updated version for game three.
That's a curveball.
That's amazing stuff.
Amazing curveball.
Things you get here on the Best Celtics podcast. We are doing this live on the CLNS YouTube page. We are powered by Prize Picks. Use the code CLNS. You'll get $100 deposit. I am Sam Jam Packard. He is Brian B. Rob from MassLive.com. We were joined by Jay King, the father from Miami, from The Athletic. And Jay, you were in the building, so I'm going to turn it to you first. So what was your reaction to the Celtics going returning to form here and pretty much dismantling the Miami Heat in Game 3?
That's more like it. The aggression on defense, the decision by every player on the roster to just be more aggressive. Pick up harder. Play defense. There were better closeouts. They held the Heat to only 28 three-point attempts, I believe. A lot of those were difficult tries. There was no more walking into wide open threes. There was no more one pass, guys wide open, let it fly. There was no more comfort for the Heat. And that's how they should treat the Heat. You don't have to have too much fear, too much respect for this team. I mean, you have to respect them, but you also need to just dismantle them as the Celtics did tonight. I thought their defense from the start, and the offense took a while to get going, but that first quarter, they absolutely locked down the Heat. They held the Heat to 12 points the entire quarter. There were definitely a few like decent shots missed by the Heat, but for the most part, it was just a totally different defensive effort, totally different defensive mentality from Boston. And I thought, you know, the offense ended up coming along, but it was a defense that was there from the start, and it was a defense that really needed to change after the Heat just drilled a ton of threes in game two.
Yeah, I think Jaylen Brown put it perfectly to you guys in Miami, Jay, when he said, just no more dare shots. I think that was like the kind of the story of the night, because that was, when you look back at the game two film, like Miami had good offensive points, but there are also times where it's like, why isn't there even a half-hearted closeout here? And that just went away tonight. And taking that part of it away, and Miami's other shooting regressed to the mean. They missed some open shots, especially in that first quarter, but the tone was changed out of the gate, and that definitely set the stage for what ended up being a rout here.
And they made everything tougher. Like, everything was just at a different level of intensity. And it sort of reminded me, this is going to be a weird comparison, but it sort of reminded me of last year. I thought their defense was never able to really make teams uncomfortable. Like they just allowed teams to get a rhythm. They allowed teams to get a flow. And game two was sort of like that. But game three showed the difference to me in this team where they can ramp it up and they can take you out of what you want to do. And they can force you into ugly nights. They picked up full. Like, how many times did the Heat throw the ball away in the full court just because the Celtics were pressuring? And obviously, with no Jimmy Butler, with no Terry Rozier, this Heat team doesn't have a ton of ball handlers, a ton of guys capable of handling that type of pressure. And when Drew Holiday is hounding you, when Derek White is hounding you, when Jaylen Brown is hounding you, that's going to be a lot to deal with for 48 minutes. And I just thought
you forgot one guy there, Jay King, who was hounding the fuck out of people. He checked in with about 7 minutes left in the first quarter, and I thought was phenomenal. It was Peyton Pritchard. Pritchard gave, and like had just played with fantastic defensive energy and was hounding every single Heat ball handler. He forced Duncan Robinson into just a bad turnover. A number of just like, I would say not necessarily uncharacteristics, but it's a number of turnovers from the Heat. And I think the Celtics did a fantastic job of turning those turnovers into points. 12 total turnovers for the Heat, 24 points for the Celtics off those turnovers. That's a pretty high conversion rate just in terms of turning those possessions. And I really thought Peyton Pritchard came in there, like one of the first subs off the bench that and just gave them a much needed boost just in terms of maintaining that defensive intensity for basically that entire first half.
And that was after a game two where the bench was pretty much a non-factor. And one of the things Joe Mazzulla said before game three was basically, we need to find ways to make our bench impact this series. We need to find ways. He thought that the switching that Miami did sort of took away some of what the Celtics like to get to with that bench. And he thought that they needed to find a way to imprint the game. And Pritchard did that. He got to the basket. He was hollering. I'm pretty sure he has like a rivalry inside his own head with all the white guys in the league.
did he threaten to? Stan Van Gundy told us he threatened to fight Tyler Hero and meet him after the in the hallway after the game.
In his own head with every white guy in the league, from Hero, Duncan Robinson, like Pritchard just really wants to be the top white guy in the league. But yeah, I thought he was awesome. I thought he was another guy who just totally ramped it up. And Porzingis, again, I thought the response from Porzingis after his game two was really, really strong.
Yeah, you know it's a Pritchard game when he just comes up with two offensive rebounds in the trees.
In traffic.
In traffic. You're just like, where the hell? How?
And one of them was like, he looked off the defense afterward and pretended like he was going to pass it out and then went up to get the bucket. I thought that was nifty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a $5 word right there, Jake.
And it's funny, Jay. Him in that lineup too, like the Pritchard, like Hauser, Horford, Tatum, Drew lineup. I feel like that is where
they were
like
dominant in the second quarter.
Right. And that was the one lineup that kind of worked in game two at points that kind of got him back into the game a little bit. But then it seemed like they rolled with that a lot and stayed with Pritchard. Joe, to his credit, I think stayed with Pritchard even longer for that second quarter stint, and it paid off because that's where they really started to separate themselves. And that's when the offense kind of got flowing too. And Pritchard and Tatum were a big part of that. And then, like you said, like Porzingis too, at the beginning of that game, just throughout, it was just like an efficient, solid night. I thought defensively, he was just damn good too with his rim protection and just making life tougher for Bam with the contests and even the drops, like just played smarter game overall, it seemed like.
Yeah, the play where Bam tried to put him right under the rim and actually did put him right under the rim, but Porzingis was still able to stop him. I thought that just showed like he was ready for the fight. And I think because he's rarely played in the playoffs, because he has a different role on this team than he has in the playoffs in the past, I just think it's going to be sort of a learning curve for him. He's going to see stuff that he hasn't really seen before. He's going to be playing a level of basketball that he hasn't seen, and that's not necessarily right now, but will come later. And I think it'll be like some ups and downs for him. I don't expect like a smooth ride for Kristaps throughout this whole thing. but he's shown throughout the year he can pick up stuff quickly, and typically, like, he doesn't have like long slumps. It's just like one game, then he snaps back, and tonight was a snapback game.
He scored the first 8 points of the game, and I think that was important to him kind of getting into the flow of things. I thought they just did a good job of like reacting to the Hero Bam pick and roll and just letting him kind of be in that drop. And if Hero wanted to attack the basket, you kind of have to finish over Kristaps Porzingis. He picked up a couple blocks there. Jay, you mentioned kind of an ugly first quarter where they hold the Heat to only 12 points, but they didn't really convert themselves. And we're only up, I think, 21-12. I thought Tatum came in with that lineup we just talked about and just really did a great job extending the lead there and kind of taking over. The Heat tried their zone, and it feels like the Celtics are very, very comfortable in terms of beating that zone and just like finding a way to get Hauser open in the corner. And then Tatum knocked out, you know, he kind of bailed out of possession with a late three, but I just thought he had a really good second quarter. And then towards the end of that second quarter, I think the Heat...
Motherfucking White.
Yes, absolutely. He had the putback on the missed free throw by Jaylen. He's just causing chaos and transition. He was just phenomenal. So I think Tatum had 13 points in the quarter, a lot of that coming at the start. And then Derek White, who was pretty quiet in game two, made his presence felt towards the end of that second quarter and really extended the lead. So they went into halftime with a 24-point lead. I thought it was just the two of them really picking up on offense was what they needed to do with the Heat kind of shooting so poorly.
All right, let's take a break here to hear from our sponsor, Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and the most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. March may be over now, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off this month at the Final Four. Be a part of it. All the action on Prize Picks for both men and women's college basketball coming up this weekend. And you can also get in on the NBA playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. As you and the world's best players take the game to a new level, the basketball's postseason. The playoffs begin, obviously, in 2 weeks, but you can get in the play-in round starting on April 16th at Prize Picks. So I know in the final couple weeks of the regular season here, one area to keep an eye on Prize Picks will be certainly with the Celtics and some of their bench players. I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities there for the likes of Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser of the world, while the starters rest up. So keep an eye on that. So if you want to check out Prize Picks, you can download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's CLNS on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100 on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy on Prize Picks. And now back to the show.
And then in the third quarter, it felt like they just ran more through White. They went to some pick and rolls with him. They just kind of activated him. And I thought that was necessary. You know, he wasn't really too big a part of things in game two. And he needs to be. A lot of their best offense comes through Derek White, whether it's him looking for his own or him getting others involved or him just being in the action and being the connective piece to make things easier for everybody else. I thought his run in the second quarter when he hit the three, he had that awesome play you talked about. He was just like he really opened things up for them toward the end of that second quarter and just kind of put the Heat away. And obviously the Heat made it a little closer. They got to like, what was it, 15?
I think 15 or 14.
Something like that in the third quarter. But he just, they had the answers every time. And a lot of the times it was Derek White.
Yeah, that's a situation with, and for him, when he took out a bigger role here, like I feel like Drew Holiday also kind of stepped back and stepped into more of the, and that was big. And as you said, Jay, like he made a lot of, you tweeted this out, like he made a lot of great passes all night here, but the Celtics' best offense is when Derek White needs to be the third, at worst, fourth option. With that starting group, Drew Holiday, for all he does, for all the shooting he does, he just, especially this against the team, like Derek White is the better creator facilitator, like creator like driver right now. And this was a night where kind of everything kind of fell back into place in that front, it seemed like.
Yeah, and it just felt like there was more flow to their offense. And even in the first quarter, like they didn't score a lot, but it was, they were getting to stuff easier. They weren't falling into the Miami trap of melting down the shot clock, being late in the shot clock, trying to force it to guys in a crowd. They did a great job. I thought there were a number of times, whether it was Al Horford that they threw it to or Kristaps, they would find those guys in the middle, and then those guys would just quickly pass it out. And I just thought the way they handled Miami's help and the way they handled all of that was just infinitely better. They didn't slow down. They didn't get caught up in this, like in the muck. They just played their own game, made quicker passes, quicker decisions, and just sprayed the ball around to guys. There wasn't as much like super methodical, try to get to a matchup type stuff. It was like, let's run through our offense and let's get to that matchup organically. And I thought there was a huge difference in just the way they played on both ends of the court, including the offense. I just thought it was night and day how they just did what they wanted instead of letting the Heat dictate things for them.
I haven't seen the numbers of in terms of after this game, but in game two, I think they only got 9 paint touches for the entire game. And it just felt like their inside out game, as you mentioned, Jay, was a lot better. And it was just like, Derek White, I think, especially there in that third quarter, I have in my notes, Derek White is just running shit. And it felt like, in terms of just like, if they're going to switch a bunch, it's on the Celtics offensive players to win their individual matchups. And that kind of play that sticks out to me is like Caleb Martin was pressing Derek White high. And Derek White just dribbling around, and eventually just like determined, I'm going to get to the cup, and eventually got by Caleb Martin for that bucket. And that kind of led to more Derek White. I think he had a pull up over Jovic the next possession, then kind of had some passing there. But it felt like the Celtics were much more focused on just like, let's win that individual matchup. Let's get it into the paint and then let's kick it out. They didn't even shoot very like great from three tonight. And normally the Celtics are not good when they shoot such a low percentage. I think below 30% from three. And so I think it's a good sign. It's also the playoffs. And so they don't need to necessarily put up 120 points. It also helps when you hold teams under below 85, which is kind of an insane number. But
they took the luck out of it. You know, there was all this talk about shot luck, about the Heat. You know, obviously it was a rare game where they hit 23 threes. I think it was a franchise record. They're not going to do that every time. The Celtics just took the luck out of it. They made sure that the Heat weren't getting those same looks. They made sure that, you know, they didn't sell out as much to shut down Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo and like send as much help, but they were still great on those guys and really were able to hold them to an inefficient night. I think they had 35 points on 34 shots between them, and Hero did some shot making, but he's going to do that. And at the end of the day, I think he had 15 points on 16 shots. So they didn't send him to the free throw line. They were able to do a great job on him while also taking away the role players. And Duncan Robinson, he only played 7 minutes, but he didn't get up a three-point attempt. Caleb Martin only had, I think, 4 shots in the whole game, and they did a great job on him. One of the possessions that stood out to me was Al Horford in the corner guarding Caleb Martin. And every time Caleb like started to look like he might shoot, Horford just took away the space. And those were the shots that the Heat were able to get to in game two. Those were the shots that Caleb Martin was able to get to last season in the playoffs. And Horford did such a great job in isolation on that one play. And I think that was the play where Caleb Martin just kind of lost it out of bounds, and Horford was successful. And I just thought there was a totally different level of, not necessarily focus, but just the intensity on all of the role players to just make sure that they weren't going to get off, and they just did a really nice job shutting them down. I'm glad that you brought up that White play on the offense, because that was sort of like they were, he was trying to run offense. He was trying to run some sort of set or play or something, looking for a teammate, and then it was just like, fuck it. I'll just go by Caleb Martin, get all the way to the rim. Nobody was in good help position. They were all denying the ball elsewhere, and White just decided to go make a play. And sometimes you just need to be an athlete, need to go make a play. Derek White was awesome.
I mean, they were, given how physical this game was, like the Heat were up in weight, whoever had the ball for most of the time in the half court in the situations. And what amazes me is the Celtics only had 6 turnovers in this game despite that. Like, they were manhandled on a lot of these spots, but they played solid, they played smart, they played patient, and plays like White where it's like, listen, okay, you want to do this? Like, I'm faster than you, like I can get by you. Or if another bigger defender's going to be on, like, I can make the right play in this situation. And for the Celtics to do that, that's like the third fewest turnovers they've had in a game all season, period. Like, that's a pretty damn good thing against a pretty damn good Heat defense.
We even had you just talked about the intensity, Jay. We had a Jaylen Brown block of a 3-point shot. Like, that just talks about like the, like how they're treating open threes and kind of like the closeouts there. It was just an all around good game, except for Drew Holiday, who did. he was very good on defense, but he made some decisions.
How are you going to say that Drew Holiday did not have a good game?
It was a joke, Jay. It was for comedic effect.
You have blinders to good passing? How are you going to say that? How are you possibly going to say that?
Because he made some of the wild choices.
I have a podcast with someone who doesn't know ball. I have a podcast with someone who has no idea what helps win basketball game.
Don't tell me. Speak pose. Tell me what Drew Holiday did today.
Did you watch?
No, I'm just asking for the viewers. I was there. I watched. I know what he did, but I wanted you to tell me.
He was out hounding Jaime Hawkins. He was out switching from one Heat player to the next and doing so with insane level of physicality. Drew Holiday didn't have a good game? Go fuck yourself.
He only had 3 points, though. 2 turnovers. A third of the team's turnovers? That's not great.
Who cares? Are you serious, Packard?
Made some tough decisions there.
Oh, man.
There was one play where I think it was in the first half. It was a Jaylen Brown. I think he had a nice like layup after a steal, but I was guaranteed. I knew Drew Holiday was going to pull up for a 3 there, and he actually made a nice layoff pass to Jaylen Brown.
That was a great play. Yeah, he backed it up in transition to create the angle to throw the pass to Jaylen. Then he finished the and-1. Another great play by Drew Holiday. I cannot believe you said it. I'm truly that hurt my soul.
Yeah, no. Are you calm down? Are you ready for the next portion of the podcast? Calm. Because right now we're going to go to the still potable legend, Joshua B. So hopefully he can calm Jay down. Joshua B., how are you doing?
I'm unbelievable, but I think I'm going to end up getting Jay riled up. You know, since
let's do it. Rile him up. Rile him up.
I think I can. I mean, he hosts 2 podcasts with people who don't know ball. I've heard Zach Harper. definitely, yeah.
For personal attack. I'm the only one allowed to make personal attack here, Josh.
Okay. I guess what I'm here for, I'm here for 2 questions. One is a little silly. One is a little serious. And we'll start with the serious one, which is up until this point in the podcast, I haven't heard you guys talk about Sam Hauser getting the ball thrown at him by Tyler Hero or Derek White getting punched in the face.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And these are instances that I remember just last year, much less in the finals 2 years ago when Draymond Green used Jaylen Brown as an ottoman. Where the Celtics would just come mentally undone. I mean, I've seen this happen in multiple series where little things like this just sort of totally derail the mental toughness of the Boston Celtics. And instead, tonight, the Celtics not only kept their composure, but they were very aggressive on defense. They continued to be physical, take the fight to Miami. That's a huge shift in the tone of this series, at least in my eyes. Do you guys see it the same way? Do you not see what I'm seeing? Where did you come down on that? Especially after last game in which they made 20, in which they set a franchise record for threes, and were able to get all kinds of space.
Does anyone have an answer? I was looking for Jay pressing the buttons there to step in. I don't know if the tone of this series has necessarily changed to me, because I don't know. I'll wait till game 4. Because the Celtics have done this with the Heat. They've had played a shitty game and they've responded well in the next game. I think this is the kind of the best response they've had in their number of series against the Heat. And just in terms of like dominating the game, game two really shouldn't have happened. They like, it shouldn't have taken their foot off the gas, but I'll kind of see if the tides have turned, if they come out in game four and do the same thing and don't let their foot off the gas. Because yeah. I'm still waiting for the Celtics to like, not like be just up a game and kind of just take that for granted. If they kind of come out with the same intensity, the same energy, in game four, then I feel like something will have changed.
This is what they're supposed to do. You're 1-1 against the 8 seed that doesn't have Jimmy Butler, that doesn't have Terry Rozier, that doesn't have a whole lot of offensive creation. You need to take control of the series. You need to come in and take game three. Cannot go down. Cannot revive the memories of Eric Spoelstra and all the nonsense that has gone on against the Heat over the years. So this is what they were supposed to do. To me, like, there's not much they can prove in this series, but it would be a bad sign if they come in game four and lay a dud and let their defense slip again and let the Heat muck them up and get caught up in the trap of all the traps that Eric Spoelstra lays. So I just think this was a great mature response out of them, but this is what they're supposed to do against a Heat team without Jimmy Butler. This Heat team should not be able to score against Boston. And I think if Boston plays this level of defense the rest of the series, it will be a quick series.
Are you saying the Heat don't have any adjustments they can make?
I'm not saying they have no adjustments they can make. I am saying that they should not be able to score.
I agree.
Patty Mills' adjustment in game four. He played some in the fourth quarter. And I thought
he played the entire fourth quarter.
On top of the threes, just he was a pest. He was trying to take charges. He was throwing himself into Jalen's arm to take a charge. He was kind of doing some Kyle Lowry type stuff out there. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some Patty Mills in game four to not just add some shooting and some spacing for them, but also to just cause chaos.
But I mean, you know, like it all comes down, if the defense shows up the rest of the series is over. Like that's it. Like if this is a top three NBA defense against the Heat team without two weapons, like that's it. Like that. And we just see it all comes down to the intensity level. That's the thing the Celtics can control. Shots might not fall. They shoot 29% for three tonight. They shoot like shit in the first quarter. But it didn't matter because the Heat couldn't score, and the Heat couldn't score consistently all night long. And if this continues, like this series needs to be over in five games for a lot of reasons. You look around the Eastern Conference today, guys, like things we talked past years, things are really looking up for this team now. Like this could be as a dream path through the Eastern Conference now, based on the injuries popping up left and right now, and dragging on a series, beyond five games when it looks like Magic Cavs could go 6 or 7 right now. That could be a big boost for this team. So that's all the more urgency now to just take care of business and let these other East teams beat up on themselves.
We didn't dive into the great beef of Wisconsin white men of Tyler Hero throwing the ball at Sam Hauser. A lot of yapping from Tyler Hero when he was what I think 5 of 13 from that point, 5 turnovers. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I've never been a big real fan of Tyler Hero, but
I enjoyed it. It was fun. Beef is fun.
I liked it because it made Peyton Pritchard threaten to meet him in the hallway, and anything that gets that response out of Peyton Pritchard is all right with me. I think it was the start of the fourth quarter. They came back and they were just like focusing in on the Celtics. And Al Horford was just behind Peyton Pritchard saying something in his ear, and Peyton Pritchard was just nodding, kind of smiling maniacally, just being like, yeah, Al, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to do it. And I loved that intensity from Playoff P. I thought that was fantastic stuff. And you know what? Things are going to get chippy. It's the playoffs. It's the Celtics Heat. You know, I thought that stuff's going to happen, especially in a playoff series. So I thought that was fun. Good times all around.
Good time.
Jay, you were in the building. Any other observations from the game or any of the post-game press conferences? Anything from, you know, you're the live reporter down in Miami. What do you have for us?
It just seemed like a business-like performance. I thought from the other day when Al Horford said, like, they have our attention. That just kind of set the tone for these couple days, set the tone for game three. Like, they have our attention. Watch what we do now. And it was interesting to hear the guys say that they didn't really make many defensive adjustments, because it looked pretty fucking clear that they did. But
yeah, Mazzulla's was like, no, you use adjustments too much this time of year. We didn't do anything different. It's like, Jaylen Brown had a block on the perimeter. He was not doing that.
Their closeouts and allowing guys to step into wide open threes. They were up in people's shit and forcing turnovers, at least in the first half, and just making Miami miserable. And that's how they should play. That is the level of defense that they should always play. I just thought they laid back in game two, and in game three, they took the fight to Miami. They were the ones setting the tone. They were the ones being more physical. They were the ones dictating what Miami's offense did instead of the other way around. So I just thought it was a great response from a team that knew it needed to play better, that knew it needed to up the defensive pressure. And that's what you want to see for now. But the level of competition will get better. And it was probably important to just, like, get this game and just kind of start to distance yourself from, like, oh God, what if this happens again to Miami? And what if it happens to this Heat team with no Jimmy, with no Terry Rozier, with, like, that would have just been bad. That would have been terrible. So they needed this one.
B-Rob, you got any other observations before we get stupid and silly with it, with the junk drawer?
Beyond that, no, I mean, Luke Kornet.
He's back.
Back in action. Three big minutes in the first half when Porzingis got in foul trouble there. Yeah, so game-changing. Game changer. We'll see. We'll find out as the playoffs go on here, but good to see him back on the court. Other than that, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we'll see. DeLon Wright, I mean, didn't really change much, but that he has played well in this series, and him randomly missing, I mean, he was out for personal reasons, so we'll see if he comes back in the series, but that certainly hurt Miami tonight when they couldn't get anything going there. So that's, you know, that'll be something to watch here for a very pivotal game four coming up Monday night.
Yeah, I like the final thing I'll say about the actual game is I just thought Kristaps was great defensively tonight. I don't know how many blocks he finished with. He had at least two that I can remember. Yeah, he had two blocks. What was a presence around the rim. And I thought he got it a little bit going there in the fourth quarter when the offense kind of was slowing down, just playing more physical and actually drawing some fouls. I don't think his post-up, like the way I thought he was going to play and how I thought they were going to attack switches was like going to a lot of Kristaps post-ups against smaller guys. Clearly, that's just not working for them. Like, I think he's catching the ball just too far from the basket. But I thought he got some of that game going, more so in the fourth quarter. It was just able to draw some fouls, and I just thought he played a much better game. It gets back to your point, Jay, that like he is going to be very important. And I think, yes, I think his offense is important and his 3-point shot making just spaced out the defense, but him being solid defensively and being a rim protector and playing Bam and contesting without fouling, they had to go to Luke Kornet tonight because Kristaps picked up those two fouls early. And so I think it really starts for this team on the defensive end. And I think Kristaps playing a solid role in that and being a good rim protector without fouling, I think will go a long way to them kind of having continued success as they move forward in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jason Tatum called him the most important player to what they're trying to accomplish. So that shines a spotlight on just how crucial he is and how crucial his level of play is to what they're trying to do and where they're trying to get to. Because when he's right, he changes them on both ends of the court. When he's right, there's not really a whole lot of answers for Kristaps Porzingis or for the Boston Celtics. So I just think this playoff run is going to test him, is going to make him better. And if he can rise to the challenge like he did in game three, then the Celtics will have a lot of answers for a lot of different types of coverages teams will throw at him.
I concur. I know you got to go right, Jay, so we'll get to the junk rather quickly. Jimmy Butler had that fun interview. I don't know. I was watching the TNT feed. He was interviewed like during the middle of this first quarter and said he was sick of the Celtics getting all that talk about them and they're about to go win the game. I hate Jimmy Butler. He had a stupid haircut. He was the original price gouger in the bubble where he's charging $20 for a cup of coffee. I've had enough of him. And why are we interviewing players during the middle of the game? When did we start doing this? I think it's stupid.
It's what they do now.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary. I hate Caleb Martin. That it was a fun give and go with Kristaps Porzingis and Derek White.
You know, beautiful
play. The commercial where Jokic has a pony and they're playing pony in the background on the piano. It was a nice touch. I hadn't recognized that before. Shaq talking about the Wagners. I don't know if you guys saw this on TNT, but he was just going crazy about the Wagners. Jay, I know you're a big Mo Wagner fan, so I thought you'd appreciate that. Jaylen Brown with a 360 dunk after he got fouled on the floor by Bam. I thought that was very unnecessary, but I liked it.
Yeah.
And then finally, a question for Joe after the game. The guy said there's four guarantees in this world. Life, death, taxes, and a spicy series between the Celtics and Miami Heat.
I don't know. Face when that one came out, I was like, oh, I couldn't believe it. What a question. Missoula somehow fucking didn't laugh or anything.
I think he's much nice. It had to be a member of the Miami media because I think he's nicer to them. But like, I was shocked when Joe Missoula didn't kind of like punch that question down. But what a wild intro. You can't just make up a saying like that to just intro your question. Like there's not even three guarantees in the world. No one says that. That's a wild approach to press conference strategy. So I appreciated that to our friends down in South Beach.
That was incredible. Incredible stuff. Just a fantastic press conference moment.
B-Rob, Jay King, any other observations, junk or otherwise, before we wrap this up here on the CLNS YouTube page?
No, just that question. That's like a classic NBA Finals, like someone trying to get on the radar type question. So now
he didn't announce his affiliation.
No, that's his mistake. If you want to propel yourself, you have to say where this is coming from. I want to be able to look up what blog you're doing. But now I'm gonna have to wait for game four. Jay's gonna have to track this guy down and give us some more information.
Well, then I was watching like the Celtics Instagram feed of the press conference, and like I think Jay was like being waited to pass the mic, and they're like, "Oh yeah, he's right here in the white hat." And I was like, "Yeah, that's I know exactly what Jay's wearing right now."
Yeah, buddy.
That's the Still Potable Difference, folks. If you've enjoyed this episode, please go to patreon.com/stillpotable. We will be here every single day, Monday through Friday, the best Celtics podcast there is. Please subscribe. Join this community. We have the chat is popping off during every single one of these games. It's a fun little community we have created, and we'd really appreciate if you guys like this free episode. Go to patreon.com/stillpotable. Subscribe today. We'll be back every single day throughout the rest of the playoffs with more excellent Celtics content from B-Rob of MassLive.com, from Jay King of The Athletic, and from me, just a guy on the internet. We very much appreciate it. And we'll be back tomorrow with more Still Potable. Jay, I'm just going to keep talking until you can get that song ready again, because that's a new version of the song and I want to hear it again. And so this is just me vamping, talking. We can talk about what else happened in the rest of the league.
Let's go, you motherfucking Celtics. Let's go, baby. Let's go, you motherfucking Celtics. Let's go. Let's go, baby. It's game three. Let's beat the Heat down in Miami. Let's go, Celtics. No more farting. double fuck you to Caleb Martin. Let's go Celtics, I said let's go. Let's go, you motherfucking Celtics. Let's go, baby, let's go. You motherfucking Celtics, let's go.
Beautiful stuff.